What's your little thing you say at the end?
See, all right. See you later, John. All right.
So, you want me to just do another little ending here? Yeah. Like, what do you want me to do? Like,
yeah, I mean, you were like, you're like, the I'm way so you said, weak in this. The way he said it.
I'm leaking this.
Chris Peterson, and with me as always is my nephew and longtime New York Giants fan, Brandon Smoker. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. It's been a while. Yeah, what is it, like 2 weeks?
It's been like four weeks. But when did you go on vacation?
Right before the 4th. So it's been about three weeks, I think.
Yeah. How was your vacation?
Good. It was hot. Florida was hot. And it was a good time. We had good weather, and
the kids had a blast. Disney, right?
What's that? Yeah, Disney. Small World.
I sent you guys
a clip of that, didn't I? And you didn't respond.
I was working. Some people had to work.
Yeah, well, I was on vacation.
You met up with Bobby Skinner, right?
I did, man. I did, and that was pretty cool. He was working, and we were texting back and forth, and he was like, here's my real number, and I'm on the job. I'm going to try to cut a little time. You know, I have so many clients I have today, and I'm going to try to cut out and see you. So we went to Cocoa Beach Pier. I actually instant messaged him on Sunday. I got there Saturday, and he said, yeah, check out the pier. There's good food there. I haven't been there in a while, and it was awesome there.
Nice.
College girls playing volleyball. I mean, I'm not... Yeah. It was intense, too. Like, it wasn't like... It was, I mean, this is something I'm going to tell you guys. It wasn't just like, oh, let's go check out these girls. I was with my family. I was not thinking that way at all.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. But they were balling. They were diving hardcore, and the courts were really cool the way they were set up. Like, they had like legit regulation volleyball courts. Everything was laid out, and people were sitting up on the pier, like having a drink, watching them and like clapping. Like, it was legit, man. And they were getting it in. Like, they were spiking it and dying. I don't know nothing about volleyball, man.
Yeah.
But it was intense. My daughter was watching. Like, she was into it. So that was cool. So then Bobby hit me up and said, hey, I'm taking a break. I got to go back in a little bit. And we just got together and sat in a bar and had a beer or two or three. I can't remember. And we just were talking about podcasts, talking about the Giants. And it was
He does the Talking Giants.
Talking podcast. Giants. That's how I got to know him. He actually does Simple Man Radio, one of his friends. And, yeah, he's doing a good job. And we just were sitting there just shooting the shit about the Giants. And this bartender goes by, and he's like, yeah, you guys made a mistake. You should have took Haskins. And, like, I'm trying to give – I mean, Bobby's good. He knows his stuff. And I look at the guy, and I'm like, man, you're starting a war. You're not going to win. And Bobby's like, yeah, because you're wrong. Like, I don't even – like, you're wrong. Haskins was not the right decision, and the guy ended up being a Colts fan. So I went on him a little bit, and I don't know. It was a good conversation. He actually hooked me up afterwards. So I went out after Bobby left. I went out to the beach, and then we went into the restaurant part and had a great lunch. The place was really good, and the guy seen me, and he actually gave us a drink.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's cool.
So yeah, that was a good time, and then we're home, and I've been trying to hook up with you guys to do something here for this podcast, so.
Yeah. It's been a while. Well, finally, training camp starting.
I know. So I'm excited. It's Thursday, 2:45, I believe.
Yeah. I think rookies reported
today,
I think. Yeah.
Tuesday. We're recording this on Tuesday. I think it's today.
But, yeah, so.
What topics do you want to discuss tonight?
So we finally signed all of our draft picks.
That's right.
And I don't really know what the
details.
Max, yeah, I don't know the details, but so we're gonna talk a little bit about that. We just can't seem to get over this guy.
OBJ.
Yeah, OBJ. Well, but him and Baker both were talking a little smack the past couple weeks. So we're going to I know you really want to get into that.
I don't, and I do, but it's a little different because I think the last time we got together, I vented or gave my true feelings on him for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Too long. But this is different. So just bear with me on that.
We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk a little about training camp and what we're excited for. And you went to training camp a couple times.
Maybe I did.
You can talk about your experiences there. And
you were supposed to go.
Okay. Yeah, I was supposed to go, but that was when me and you were working at the same place, and one of us had to stay. So.
Yeah, all right.
So, what do you have to say about OBJ?
All right, so OBJ, you agree with me. We were both, it was a shock.
Yeah.
They traded him, and it's like, it was the biggest news. I think it shut Instagram down or Facebook down that night. It was ridiculous.
It was wild.
And me and you always supported him, backed him up. And I could almost, I feel like I was sincere about that. Like, when he would do something, I would really be like, no, you're looking at it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I really supported this dude. And it was hard for Giants fans. And you even said, like, what'd you say tonight that...
I was devastated that night. My phone was ringing off the hook. People texting me saying you lost your best player. And everybody told us we had to get rid of him. We finally did. And everybody
was so it was like we've been wrong. We've been sticking up for him all this time for absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, so GQ Magazine gets some quotes from him. I felt disrespected.
He's
talking about being traded. I felt disrespected. Like after everything I've done for them, I can't believe this. I'm just can't even imagine this. All right, so let me start over. I felt disrespected. Like everything I've ever done for them, this is me being honest. This team has not been good for the last 6 years. I felt like I was a main reason at keeping that brand alive. He called us a brand. They were getting primetime games still as a 5-11 team. Why? Because people want the show. They wanted to see me play. Oh my God, how conceited and big on yourself can you be? Like, are you kidding me? How do you feel about them quotes?
First of all, after all he's done for us, what did he do for us? What exactly did he do for us? He didn't win us any playoff games, that's for sure. Win us any Super Bowls, that's for sure.
He barely plays a full season.
I think we probably had one or two winning seasons with him.
I think it was
11-5 season. That was it.
Yeah.
We didn't win a playoff game, so he was too busy.
We drafted him. We gave him a shot in the league.
Yep. We signed him to a 5-year. We signed him to a...
Gave him money.
Gave him all that money. And what did he do for us? He let us down. That's what he did for us.
He let us down. And I can break down what he said. People want to see this show. They wanted to see me play. Yeah, man, I did want to see you play. I wanted to see you win Super Bowls. I wanted to see you play 16 games. I really wanted you to play in that damn playoff game against Green Bay, but you might as well have been hurt because you didn't show up to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I got another part of this. Baker Mayfield had a comment.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand these guys. So, Baker Mayfield says, he's here to play in front of fans who actually care, who will actually show up to every game and pack the stadium and love him for who he is. After reading those two quotes, even like the 50th time and sitting right here with you in this room tonight and reading them again, there's only one thing that sums up Baker Mayfield and OBJ, and that is they are stupid. Why is Baker even commenting on the New York Giants? He don't know nothing about this fan base. He don't know nothing about the history of the Giants. He's playing for a team that basically disappeared and moved to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And that don't win. Like, and he's going to talk about one of the like greatest franchises in the NFL, whose season tickets been sold out for 40 years. And he's going to talk about us. Like, the dude doesn't even know his history.
He's... He's a second year in the league. He's coming off a good year. He's really cocky right now. Everybody's saying he's going to be the next big quarterback star, and he's just letting it all go to his head, and he wants to talk crap.
So, all right. So this went a little longer than I wanted, but the whole point of this little tidbit on OBJ is, I don't know about you, but I know from reading like Twitter and people's comments on Instagram and just the sports world, it went from everybody being like you, sick in the stomach that night. People don't care about him no more. Like, he's making it easy for us not to care and like him anymore, OBJ. And he's making Dave Gettleman look like a genius.
Yeah.
Because everybody hated Dave Gettleman for getting rid of him. Oh, you lied to him. You didn't sign him to trade him. But this dude he's terrible. And I'm glad that the fans are starting to say, you know what? You made the right decision, I think. We don't need this because it's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
What do you hear about the Giants?
Well, the one thing we need to do this year, though, is we need to win.
So we do.
Need to back this up.
No, I know, but think about it. Like, you don't hear any distractions. You don't hear any negativity. You're still hearing us.
All of it's coming. It's from him.
It's from him. Yeah. So there's nothing. All of our guys are doing is just showing up and doing their thing, competing and getting to work. And that's what we need. And that's what I'm happy about. So, that being said, the fans are starting to, like, not care about the guy anymore. I don't care about the guy anymore. I'm glad he's gone. He's not going to win in Cleveland. I don't think they're going to win. You can't have them type of mentality and them type of head cases
all
together.
His personality.
Yeah, you ain't going to win. Like, they're not even, like, Baltimore will win that division this year.
I can see it.
That being said, not only is he disrespecting us fans, he disrespected his teammates, his ex-teammates. He disrespected Shep. He disrespected Eli, a two-time Super Bowl MVP. He's disrespecting Saquon, who is more of a leader and definitely the best player on the team, even if OBJ's there.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't talk to him. If a New York Giants player heard this podcast, I wouldn't talk to him no more.
I'd be pissed off.
I would want an apology.
Yeah, I mean, at the ESPYs, Odell was hanging out with Saquon. I saw all that, but yeah, I mean, I'm with you. If I was Saquon, or especially Eli, I wouldn't have anything to do with
him.
Wouldn't have anything to do with him anymore.
I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to bring this up tonight. It has nothing to do about, I don't care what he says anymore. I'm over him. I just want the players to be done with him, and I want the fans to be done with him.
I'm definitely done with him.
Amen.
So, right.
Next topic.
On to something better. I mean, we signed all of our rookies, finally.
Yeah, we had 10.
It was a little bit of a wait for Daniel Jones and the X-Man, but we finally signed them. I don't understand what takes them so long to...
No, and I didn't even know this. I didn't think about this. But Saquon, also, the day they reported is the day he signed. The day the rookies reported.
Right.
And he got his 31 whatever million guaranteed or whatever. But I don't understand that either, what takes so long.
I mean, it does. I always do get a little nervous because, you know, the 1 year when the Chargers drafted Joey Bosa, he was out. Like, I don't think he did any training camp or anything. And he didn't sign until close to the preseason regular season or something.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they signed last night, the 22nd. And, we got it here. X-Man signed. He signed his 4 years. Then Daniel Jones signed last night. He got his $25.6 million four-year deal with the fifth-year option. And he also got a $16.7 million signing bonus. Wow. Guaranteed up front.
Well,
and that's awesome.
Go for him.
Yeah. And then X-Man got his 4 years. It's like $3.5 million, $833,000 guaranteed. But the key to them signing to me is just they're going to be there. Like, rookies showed up today for meetings and all that.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
The main players, everybody, the whole squad shows up on Thursday. Everybody's there. And that's what I was excited about.
So everybody's on board.
Everybody's on board. No distractions.
Definitely.
Moving on to training camp.
Yeah, training camp starts Thursday. So you get... You got tickets this year or what?
I do not. This would be the first time in 4 years I'm not attending.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. The kids like it. It's a good time. It's just a lot because you got to get there in the morning. You know, if you have kids under 12, obviously they want to meet the players. And I've done it every year.
Yeah.
Met Eli last year. He signed my little one's cast. She had a broken leg. And that was neat. He actually looked at her and talked to her. And it's just a blast. But to get there, it's a 2.5 hour ride. You got to wait in line because it's first come, first serve for the bracelets. It is. It's a long day for them. And they just didn't seem as interested as they have in the past because of that. So I didn't do it. I just took a year off. So I'm hoping next year they're more fired up.
I can see it being more for the kids. I mean, it would be cool to go just to just get in that mood. The New York Giants are coming back and everything. But I don't know. If I'm going to drive all the way down there, I'd rather go to
But that's the game. Thing. You leave there, and the whole way home, you're thinking, you want it to be game day.
Yeah.
It pumps you up. Because I actually
a little tease.
Yeah, they actually go through their drill. They do a little bit of, they swap. They put the kickers over here. They put the quarterbacks over here. They run all kinds of drill. It's a good time. And if you actually sit in there and watch the camp, I mean, I really enjoy it. Now, the kids are out throwing footballs, going down the slide.
Right.
And buying merchandise and eating. But me, I'm always in there watching it. So. And the wife, of course, has to drag them around and do all that.
Yeah.
But they love the meet and greet. They do a great job with that.
Man, I can't wait. Preseason's a couple weeks away.
Thursday night, we have two preseason games on TV. The first one is the Jets, August 8th. It's a Thursday, right?
Thursday night, yeah.
And then I think I'm not even 100% sure. I think the second one's the Patriots.
Yeah, I forget. I mean, we play the Jets and Patriots every year in preseason.
And it's usually the third game of the Jets. It's the first. But we play both of them in the regular season this year.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that has something to do with it.
Could be. We might be doing a joint practice.
I don't think they...
We're not doing any of them this year?
I don't think they are. I don't know. Don't quote me. But I don't think they are. I didn't catch anything of that so far this year.
Huh.
So training camp. Starts Thursday. Everybody will be there. It's a great thing. There's some camp battles. Is there anything that stands out to you?
Well, one big battle that stands out is, and I know Pat Shurmur came out and said it, but he said there is no competition at quarterback. And I gotta disagree with that. If Daniel Jones, let's just say Daniel Jones comes out in training camps, is stellar, flawless, kicks ass, and he's obviously better than Eli. You're obviously going to put him in week one. You're not going to... I hope he puts in the best quarterback week one.
There's no battle. There's no controversy.
So you're saying if Eli comes out in preseason...
And stinks?
Like he always does in preseason. And what if Daniel Jones comes in and...
I don't think Daniel Jones is going to get any first... round like in practice, he's not going to get any reps with the first team. So how can he be the starter?
Well, I mean, throughout training camp, he might. Four preseason games. If he's the coach sees something and he's playing a lot better than Eli, you have to put him in. That's sending a bad message to the fans. I'll tell you that.
Man, I'm not even going negative there. I think he needs to sit behind Eli, and Eli needs to play.
Even if he's sucking?
No, I mean, I think it's his job to lose in the regular season. How much is Eli even going to play in the preseason? He's going to play one possession the first game.
Yeah, what if he comes in and plays one series and goes 6 for 10, 17 yards and a pick, and Daniel Jones comes in and plays a whole half and kills it? That's going to cause a controversy. That right there is going to cause a quarterback controversy.
I'm going to tell you this.
Talk to Romo about that.
What's that?
Talk to Romo about that. Just think, Russell Wilson. I was listening to Colin Cowherd a little bit ago.
Okay.
Russell Wilson, he won his quarterback battle in training camp. He came in as a third-round pick. They just signed Matt Flynn to a huge free agency deal that year.
You're talking Matt Flynn and Eli Manning.
Matt,
you're talking two-time Super Bowl MVP, never missed a game if it wasn't for Ben McAshit.
Well, Russell Wilson was obviously the better quarterback that year, and he came in, busted his ass in training camp, third-round pick. Nobody thought he would
get
the job.
I like the idea of the competition.
To just come out and say that there is no competition, you can't say that. People are competing every day.
I agree, because that's what I like. Like, I asked you what stood out to you, and we're going to stay on this topic, but what stands out to me is our secondary.
Okay.
And that's exactly why, because there's a lot of competition there.
There's a lot of competition there,
and Dave Gettleman wants competition. He believes in competition, and competition pushes people to play harder and play better. And I agree. I just feel like the quarterback position is just a little different. It depends. You're talking Matt Flynn and Russell Wilson. Now you're talking Daniel Jones. You're talking Eli Manning.
Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. Daniel Jones is number 6 overall.
I understand that. But Eli still got it. And they built this team for him to win. They built him a line for the first time in 5 years. They're going to let him go out. And they could have got rid of him. They're paying him $23 million. They're going to let him go out, and it's his job until he loses it. You can't base his performance off of preseason practice, training camp practice in one possession on the field. You don't even game plan for preseason games.
I get that.
If we start out this season 0-3, then put Daniel Jones in.
Eli will obviously be the starter week one.
Yeah, obviously. That's all Pat Shermer's saying.
But to completely rule it out, that's not sending a good message. I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't see what you mean by the good message. I guess that's what I
just
don't
to
understand.
Say that. All right, there's no competition. Eli's our starter. Don't worry about it.
Daniel Jones got things. He got stuff to learn. He got to learn.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see. Eli will be the starter week one. But what do you think?
I hope Daniel Jones, you know what, the perfect...
Yeah, what do you think he's thinking right now? There's no competition. Well, all right, I'll just sit here and just relax.
It's not his mentality, and that's probably another reason why they like the kid, and that's why they drafted the kid. The kid knows his role. He's going to come in, and he's going to learn, and he's going to play. He's going to do what they asked him to do, and he's going to be the best teammate he can possibly be, and he's going to do anything he can to help his team win. And that's why they went with him.
I would like to see him learn behind Eli.
I would like to see Eli play all 16 games, win 10 or 11 games, and go to playoffs.
I would too.
And then ride on your white horse out into the sunset. That's what I'd like to see.
I would like to see that too, but...
I think it has to do with the personalities, and I think it has to do with the quarterback. I mean, it's Matt Flynn. You said Matt Flynn. Like, come on, what did he ever do?
Well, I mean...
What did he ever do? This is
nothing,
Eli's
but,
team. This is Eli's team. You were the guy that's just stuck up for Eli the two podcasts ago.
I know. But to come, it's...
I agree with the competition. And I think there's going to be competition.
Everybody's
there. You don't think Eli has a fire lit under his ass knowing that if he goes out and he plays conservative or he doesn't make the good plays, he knows. He knows Daniel Jones is right there, and he knows Daniel Jones has the ability to start in this league.
He knows
that's enough.
He knows there's no quarterback competition, so.
Well, he knows it's his job until he loses it. I don't know. I'm not arguing. I am arguing with you, but I'm not arguing. I agree with you 100%. I agree with competition. I just feel like it's a little different when it comes down to this.
All right.
Like, he brought up Romo. Well, Romo lost his job because he got hurt.
No, but he was still number one quarterback. And then they said, never mind. He's doing good. He's staying.
Yeah, Jerry Jones loved Romo.
Yeah, but you don't take a guy out. What did the Cowboys? Cowboys went 13-3.
He was ready to play by the end of that season, and they kept Dak in.
I would have too. They were like one of the best. They had one of the best.
That's his point, though. Like if he steps in and starts playing at that caliber, why wouldn't that?
Now, if Eli gets hurt in the preseason, and Daniel Jones starts out 3-1,
they sure as hell better not take him out.
Then I agree with you 100%. But that's not what they're saying here. They're just saying it's Eli's job to lose. He's starting the season. That's all they're saying. They're not saying, like, there's no... Like, I don't know. Romo got hurt, and he didn't play, and he wasn't available to play, and Dak went in and tore it up. That's the difference. If Eli gets hurt in the...
Because he tore it up in preseason, too. I think they were talking about him during preseason about how good he was doing. And they were already.
And I'm glad you didn't bring up Carson Wentz and Sam Bradford, because Sam Bradford's always been overrated. I mean, he was supposed to be a great quarterback. He never stayed healthy, and they got rid of him. Remember that? They were like, Carson Wentz is going
to
be like.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the
like third string.
Carson Wentz was third string, and then out of nowhere, a week before the season starts.
But you're talking about, once again, Sam Bradford, two-time Super Bowl MVP, Eli Manning. Never missed a game.
I mean,
it's a big difference. Yeah. We have two different opinions on it. I'm glad, because it gave us something to talk about. I honestly believe that it'll do Daniel Jones really good to sit behind Eli Manning. I do.
I do too. Let's just hope Eli can play up to starting caliber.
And let's hope if he doesn't, Pat pulls his trigger at the right time.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, I agree with that too. All
right.
But I can't base who the starter is going to be when it comes down to a rookie and a guy that, you know, I think is going to the Hall of Fame, who should get the starting job in a preseason game or a training camp. Like, I can't judge it off of that. Me, I can't. But that's why I'm sitting here and I'm not out scouting NFL players, maybe. But to me, I think you need to let Eli get on the field and see. I mean, they put the line. This is probably, that's another thing I'm excited about, this offensive line. I mean, we got competition on this line as well. You got Chad Wheeler and Remmers battling for the right side. And you got Pulley, who stepped in and played really good last year.
I like Pulley.
I'm going to screw his name up.
Jalapeno.
Yeah, when he got hurt, I remember Shermer saying he was, I mean, this is kind of like, you can take this how you want to take it. He was our best lineman at the time.
Yeah, he very much well could have been.
Right. And then now he's back and he's back. He's going to be healthy. He's good. So now you got competition there. You got competition on the right side. And then you're adding, we got hopefully a healthy Solder. Hernandez in his second year. And then
Jalapeno,
and the guy,
and Kevin Zeitler.
Zeitler, I was having like a, I couldn't get his name out.
But DBs, that's going to be an exciting battle too.
Absolutely. So this is my most exciting part of the whole training camp. Me, I am excited for the battle for the number two. I mean, no, Jenkins got the number one spot.
We don't know that yet.
I do. I feel like Jenkins got that locked up. He's the number one corner, personally. I mean, you can, if you don't think, like, if you're not, I don't know what you do. You don't agree? Like,
no, I mean, it goes back. It's the same thing. Training camp. He could get cut before the first.
I'm telling you, Jenkins ain't getting cut, man.
I mean, if he has a season like he did last year, he could get cut.
Man, I just think about when Jerry Reese screwed up and drafted bad and just did terrible all those years. Then he turned around and spent like $100 million on Jenkins, Vernon, and Snacks. I mean, we were excited.
And they worked really well for the first year,
The first year, we went 11-5. But who would have thought sitting here right now that Jenkins would be the one that was left?
Right.
Like, you loved Vernon.
I love Snacks.
All right, maybe that's what I was thinking. But then Jenkins is still sitting there, and he's... Dude, I think he's the perfect person to lead these guys and teach these guys.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because, first of all, you got some talent there. You got some, like, veteran talent there. You got Jenkins as a corner. You bring in Bethea as a safety that he's got a lot left in the tank, in my opinion. And he knows his system, and they said he was tearing it up already in OTAs flying around.
Right.
And then you match him up with Peppers, who... the last 8 or 9 games last year, tore it up in Cleveland.
Yeah, they're expecting a big year from him.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot about him.
That's what I'm saying. So already right there, just with those two guys, that's way better, in my opinion, than Curtis Riley and
Landon Collins.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see.
Like, I'm excited about that. And then you're going to bring these... So, like, the first battle that sticks out to me is we need a second corner. Sam Beal, who we got as a
supplemental pick.
Yeah, and we gave up our third overall this year. We would have had a third round pick. We gave it up for him, and then he got hurt.
Yeah.
But he's looking good in OTAs. He's tearing it up. I remember Gettleman said something about, like, that was a steal for me. I gave up a third round next year for a guy that would have went in the second round.
Right. Yeah, next year. I read that too.
Yeah, so they're excited about him. And then we traded all those picks to get the 30th overall pick. That was a shock for me that night. I enjoyed that. And we picked up DeAndre Baker.
Yeah, that's a lot of people were saying that's one of the steals of the draft right there.
DeAndre Baker,
he's big, he's tall,
he's physical,
he's got a mouth on him too. He likes that. He's got that confidence.
Yeah, you need that. You need that in a cornerback. You need like somebody. Scrappy. Yeah, you need a scrappy guy that'll go after.
OBJ.
Dang, I like it. Or DeAndre Hopkins. I was thinking somebody like
that.
Yeah. But they think he was the best cover corner in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading a lot after the draft. Before the draft, I didn't really pay attention to corners. But they're saying like Greedy Williams was one. But after the draft, everything I was reading was saying. A lot of people thought
he told me you were buying his jersey. Remember?
Yeah, I'll get his jersey.
He texted me out of the blue. I'm at work. He's like, I'm gonna get a DeAndre. I'm gonna get a Baker jersey.
He might be the first jersey.
I'm almost ready to never buy a jersey ever again. The way it's like, it's not as bad as the NBA, but
yeah.
Speaking of that, how mad were you when you heard that LeBron was not gonna wear 23? Now he is gonna wear 23. How mad would you have been though if you went out and bought a LeBron jersey after 1 year on the Lakers and he turned around and changed his number? That's pathetic.
I actually did almost go out and get a LeBron jersey. And yes, I'm a Lakers fan. But I
bought mom that jersey shirt.
Yeah.
But it still would have sucked.
Well, who's to say that he doesn't, like Anthony Davis doesn't like his number this year and just decides to keep it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they have something now that you can, if a player gets traded, you can trade in that jersey for their new jersey, but I'm not going to trade in for like a, like if LeBron would go to another team. I wouldn't get another LeBron.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. Yeah, but all right, let's say you bought the 23 and then he changes it to 6. Would you trade your 23 in for the 6 or would you just keep it? I mean Kobe
Jordan wore 45.
Yeah, it was different. He retired and he came back and then it was different. Matt Flynn, Eli Manning. Now you're going to say, don't put anybody in the same category as Michael Jordan.
Well, if anybody's in the same category, it's Kobe. It's not
the same. Yeah, Kobe actually goes out. All right, we'll get back to the task at hand here, the New York Giants. So that's an exciting training camp battle for me. And this is why I agree with you with the Daniel. I do agree with you a lot that you're saying about Danny Jones and Eli Manning, the competition. Because these two guys are going to be out there balling because they want that spot.
Mm-hmm. It's going to bring out the best of them.
They're both good in covers. They're both good in man. I know Betcher likes that. And that's going to be a good thing to watch. And they were both tearing it up in OTAs.
The better the man coverage is, the more time we have to get to the quarterback.
Well, that's what I want to get to that. I want your theory on that because you're like that. You like that stuff. So another one is Grant Haley, who I thought stepped in very well last year.
Yeah, I think he was undrafted from Penn State,
yeah,
right?
Yes, he was undrafted. He played 10 games. He started 9. He had like, I'm going off the top of my head here, 30 to 34 tackles, a few broken up passes, maybe 2 or 3 broken up passes. I don't think he had a pick or anything. But he stepped in and played in the slot. And everybody puts 3 receivers out in the field anymore. So you need a good, consistent guy to play in the slot. You know what I mean? Not everybody's the Legion of Boom and everybody can play one-on-one man coverage and just be dominant. So you need all the help you can get, and that's why I love competition. But he's going against Julian Love, who I was excited about when we drafted him.
Right.
I like Julian Love out of Notre Dame. We took him in the 4th round. He is known for breaking up passes. That's one of his biggest things. And in, I don't know if it was 17 or 18, but one of those years in college, he led the corners in breaking up passes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a good, scrappy young dude. I mean, it's a shame he's a little behind the 8 ball. Corey Valentine, the guy that got shot. I mean, it's a shame he lost his best friend. I mean, that's terrible. But it's another guy you're throwing in there to battle in an already deep secondary now.
Right.
And we haven't had that stuff for years. And don't forget, we still got... We want to get back to safeties. We didn't even get on safeties yet, did we?
No.
Let's just keep that Let's keep that thought.
But yeah, going into the draft, we were thin at corner. Because all we had was Sam Beal, who's coming off a major shoulder injury,
yep.
And Jack Rabbit. And after that, I was like, because B.W. Webb left.
Where did he go? He went to Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think so. He left, and now we're sitting there saying, well, who's going to play corner? And then we drafted all these corners and brought all these guys. And hats off to Dave Gettleman for addressing the need, because it was an obvious need. And should be in for a fun training camp battle.
So I don't want to veer off something you said. I want to get into safeties real quick. It's not necessarily a battle, but it can be a battle. So Curtis Riley's gone. Landon Collins is gone. We got Pate and Julian Peppers. Don't forget we got Chandler there. We got Michael Thomas there that made the Pro Bowl. And there is a chance, I heard that we might be bringing in Trey Boston to talk to.
Right.
I would love that. I think it was back in March I was talking to you about Trey Boston, and I would really, I don't even know what we have money-wise. I'm not good at that off the top of my head. But what do you think of that? Do you think we can get him and bring him in? Or have you heard anything about it?
I saw something yesterday about it. But, I could see him just being another body, more competition, bringing in some...
But Thay is getting old.
Yeah.
I mean, that, no disrespect, but he's 35 years old this year. He don't look it right now, but I mean, it's only training camp. I mean, training camp didn't start, but no TAs, obviously, he didn't look it. And he knows the system, so he's flying around. But Boston played in that system as well. And I just did a little research on him. In 2018, he played for Arizona. He played all 16 games. He made 79 tackles. He had 3 interceptions. He put 3 or 4 hits on the QB, and he had 8 or 9 pass deflections. So we're going to play a 3-4. It's 3 down. You're not getting, in my opinion, I don't know. Do you like the 3-4 better or the 4-3 better? We haven't played 3-4 in a while. Giants, that's not their...
We played 3-4 last year.
Right, since Betcher's been there. But right. That's not what we were used to in the past when we had like JP... That's just not what we were...
Yeah, I mean, the 3-4, it's more, I see it more as a speed rush. And, for the 3-4, I'm seeing the way it is now, I can see Dexter Lawrence being our nose tackle.
Oh, absolutely.
And then...
And he's more than just a run stopper to me.
Yeah.
He's going to haul guys up. He's going to make offensive linemen have to...
Double team.
They're going to have to.
Which is going to open up lanes for Lorenzo Carter...
And
the X-Man.
I want X-Man getting on the field.
I do, too. They're saying a lot of good things about him, too. But going back to the line, I think it's... The one concern I have is... I mean, I could see B.J. Hill being on the line on the left side with Lawrence in the middle. But then you got Dalvin Tomlinson on the right side. I can't see him... I mean, I guess when the linebacker walks up to the line of scrimmage, he's considered the inside lineman.
Well, he can float. Like, he can go back in coverage. He can He can stop the run. He can blitz. Yeah. So, he's kind of...
So, Dalvin Tomlinson, he's kind of a slow outside lineman. So, I mean, I don't know how
he's got Kareem Martin, too.
Well,
I know.
He's going to be cut. I don't think he's going to make it?
No. And you got Ogletree. Yeah, so... I like going to this 3-4.
And we got Marcus Golden too.
I know, and he played well in this system. We seem like we signed like every Arizona Cardinal available. I feel like that's why I feel like we're going to bring Boston in. I mean,
that's why I wanted the Honey Badger when he was a free agent.
Yeah, we talked about this, and I remember I wanted Boston, and I don't remember if you agree with me. I think you wanted the Honey Badger.
Yeah, but I wanted him.
But well, I guess what I'm excited about is, like I said, the competition in the secondary. But then we got these safeties. We got – I want to bring Boston in. Real quick, in 2017, he played – I think it was 14 games, and he had 5 picks. It's vice versa. One year he played with 14 games, one year he had 16 games. But he had 5 picks. He also had 79 tackles. So he's all over the field. But that's the thing. Like, we can even bring – you can even bring Peppers up. Peppers can float. Like, Landon Collins was great at stopping the run. Landon Collins could get to the quarterback. Well, Peppers can do that, and he can cover.
Right.
And you could potentially put all three of these safeties on the field at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I was just looking up right now. When we won our Super Bowl in 2011, we had that three safety set.
Right.
Where we had Antrell Roll, we had Kenny Phillips, and we had older Deion Grant.
Yes.
And I could see us doing something like that again this year.
And that's what we're saying. This is why I agree with you with the whole not having a quarterback controversy or a challenge. I want competition. So we have all these guys fighting for these spots. Either any of these guys could play. These guys are going to take turns getting on the field. You could probably swap guys in and out. And I think it works both ways as well. But you were starting to bring something up. If you have good coverage guys, you don't have to have the most outstanding pass rush. Because if your guys can cover,
it's just going to be a coverage sack. We'll be getting coverage sacks.
It can be a coverage sack. And then on the flip side of that, if you have the knockdown, the best defensive line in the league,
you don't
have to have necessarily the best man-to-man coverage corners or or safeties and vice versa.
I think that's what Betcher leans more on is the man-to-man coverage.
I do.
Bump and run.
He likes that feisty grinding, get up in the guy. Battle. He likes that. So if these guys can do their job.
Have Jabril Peppers on the line coming off.
He can come up and help. He could come up and blitz. He could come up and help stop the run.
Right.
You could put. I don't know. That's what I'm excited about.
I'm just excited overall for football season to come. I saw something the other day. It's only 7 weeks away.
I'm pumped.
I'm
pumped to get this. I'm pumped to get the season going so we can talk about the games and get some fans involved and maybe hit us up with some predictions. And
I know we've been kind of struggling with topics, so we haven't really put much out. But once the season starts, we're going to be going every week.
Every week, every Tuesday, we're going to get together. We're going to talk about the previous game, talk about moments in the game, highlights from the game. I mean, just any news from the game.
What we're excited about for the next game.
And keys to the game for the up-and-coming game. And then I want to get people involved. I want people to, leave us messages. I really would like to figure out a way to have people call in if that's possible, if we ever get to that point. But right now, they can tweet us and they can leave us messages and get involved in the game. Because I want to get fans to give us predictions. I want to do this. I want to give something away. Like, I would really want to, we said in our introduction podcast that if we could get 5 predictions a week, and if you get your prediction right, you go into a drawing for the end of the year.
And then we'll pick our 5 best that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it's going to work. Maybe by week 5 we'll get 30 or 40, but let's say week 1, 5 people or 6 people give us a prediction, we'll just use them. Let's say it's 30. I don't know what it's going to be, but if it's 30, we'll pick our 5 best. I think we were saying our 5 best, but then when I go to the games, if fans wanted to actually come up and do don't want to talk football, I want to meet people. That's the whole reason why we did this. If we can get people to come to where we're tailgating at, we could also use Twitter or Instagram, and we can get guaranteed. If you come up and give me a bold prediction, big blue bold prediction on game day at the home game,
that's guaranteed.
Guaranteed it's going to be in. So we'll do 7 or something.
Yeah.
We'll do 5 from Twitter, pick the 5 we want that we think are good ones, and we'll use the guaranteed ones from the game.
Sounds good to me.
All right, Giants fans, so if you're listening to this, we want to thank you for joining us, and I want to give a special thanks to our producer, Beats and Beards, with a Z, for our production and our music. And thank you for Anchor for allowing us to drop this podcast to you guys. It's your one-stop shop to record, host, and distribute your podcast. Like I said, I'm Chris Peterson. I'm with my nephew, Brandon Smoker. We're looking to bring you Giants news, and we thank you for listening. And go G-Men!
See you next time, Giants fans.
Thank you, B. Big Blue G-Man Nation for listening and all of our Big Blue fanatics. I want to give a special shout out to our producer, Beats and Beards, for our production and our music. And I want to also thank Anchor. It's your one-stop shop to record, host, and distribute your podcast. You can reach the Big Blue G-Man podcast at blue_G-Man, or you can hashtag at BBGpodcast, or just email us at bigbluegman@outlook.com. Go Giants.